Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined by this still sick Conrad.
Not in the head, though some would argue that. Hello!
Hello. And today our topic is licensed properties.
Can I just clear up something? Are we doing Fool's Daily or Fool's Daily today?
We're doing Fool's Daily now. Because I is not sick. Only you is sick. For change, despite the fact that I was in unbelievably cold weather with unbelievable amounts of snow, I'm not ill.
You were here there pretty much the same time as Boris, I hear, as well.
Yes, and other people, and if I'd realised it was TempleCon that weekend, I would have rearranged my schedule and gone to TempleCon and played Malifaux. But I didn't, and so I didn't, and then I didn't.
Because you is rubbish.
I is rubbish and lame. But enough of my faults. Because that could be a whole show in itself.
We're going to talk about licensed products today.
We are. And the reason we're going to talk about licensed products is the big news from Spartan Games this week. In that they have signed a deal with Microsoft, don't really get much bigger, to produce Halo miniature games.
And what does that mean?
Right, so do you know what Halo is?
It's something that goes around the head of an angel or a saint or something like that.
Do you know what it means in the context of Microsoft?
It's a game.
It is. So, first-person shooter.
What, an FPS? Hey, look at me. I'm down with the kids.
Oh, good God.
WTF. OMFG.
FFS. So, Halo's a first-person shooter. Pretty much saved the original Xbox. Created a new game studio, effectively in Bungie, and
weren't they around before though, Bungie?
Yeah, but they Halo is what they're known for now, and they, you know, it's a superhuman guy, Master Chief, who's effectively the Doom Marine versus nasty aliens, and may lots of shooting and weapons ensue.
Yeah, they did Myth. I used to play Myth. Long, long time ago.
Long, long time ago. I can still remember.
Anyway, yes, so they have created a world.
A universe.
And a universe.
And there was a TV series, you know, CGI animated thing on the Netflix. And now there is going to be a miniature game. And Spartan are producing at least two games that we know of. Yesterday in their press release, they showed renders of two fleets of ships that hopefully will fit with Firestorm Armada so that you can use, you know, Covenant ships versus one of the Firestorm Armada races. And they also talked about doing a ground, you know, a tabletop miniatures game, rather than a space game. And so that got me to thinking about other companies that have had licenses and whether they've been good for them or not.
Well, the big one there is GW, really, I suppose.
Yep. So GW, obviously. I mean, well, no, I mean, not so obviously. They started out doing licensed ranges.
Yeah, back in the day, didn't they? They started
you go back in time and you can find
Judge Dredd, I seem to remember.
Call of Cthulhu, Official Paranoia Miniatures. They had masses and masses of licenses for, you know, figures for games. Official AD&D Miniatures. Somewhere in my bits box, I still have a Rust Monster from that range, which looks like an armadillo with propellers on its head.
Has it got rusted?
No, because it's not made of a ferrous metal. It's made of lead back,
I can even
back
picture,
in the day.
I can even picture the black and white picture of a rust monster in my head as well. That's how sad it is.
So, they started off... Obviously, the big license that they ended up with was Lord of the Rings, which took the company to the next level. I mean, I think... added something like $44 million to their turnover.
That was a big move for them. I'm guessing that would have cost them a bit of money as well, but the return on it must have been good.
Return on them? Well, I mean, certainly those the years that, that it was running, they, you know, minted stuff. Very, very successful license. The Hobbit, but the Hobbit one hasn't proved as successful. You know, they didn't. It wasn't. Genie in the Bottle twice.
Yeah, but I think some of that is because of the very nature of the fact that it had been done once already with Lord of the Rings. And even though The Hobbit, from a film perspective, are technically miles much, much better than Lord of the Rings, it's very much a case of, well, it's like having another Harry Potter film or, you know, another Taken film. It's like... it's just more of the same sort of thing. So it does not surprise me that the game has not done as well, because especially with the market and the climate as it is now, people or gamers are very careful about what they buy now. Even though we still hoard, we don't jump on bandwagons, these sorts of larger bandwagons with, you know, with where it will require a lot of money and a lot of figures. Up to play the game, I don't think we do that as easily as we did before.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, with Lord of the Rings, GW created a third core system that they had. The mechanics of it were different from their other two systems. And it was much more about a smaller force. And they went with, and I was just going to say, during because of the restrictions of the license, they went for a completely different scale of figure.
Yeah, I think they had to do that to make it unique, essentially.
That was certainly certainly my understanding of at the time.
Because I remember their sort of tournament rules for fantasy and were saying that, you know, or was it, I can't remember which way around, but basically you couldn't use Lord of the Rings figures for fantasy.
Yeah.
And they were true 28 as well, weren't they?
Yes, they were. They were. They didn't have the exaggerated head-hand proportions that...
that you have as a human being.
that typical fantasy battle figures do. But, they, you know, it was a very successful. And I would think that that's probably the most successful... Certainly that I can think of is the most successful tabletop license that there's been. But there have been lots. Oh, sorry. Go on.
Think the only other one I can think of is the old Mongoose one, wasn't it? Starship Troopers. Yes.
Yes. Now, for those of you who don't know, at one point, Starship Troopers was a miniature game based on both the movies and the frankly excellent CGI cartoon that was produced. Mongoose produced a series of miniatures. But I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that it was not a successful game. It was plagued with delays and getting figures out, and the figures that people wanted didn't come out until, you know, almost the end. Things like the hard suits and stuff, and it also was hampered by the fact that the figures were slightly different in scale for 40K figures, and so you couldn't, you know, go, oh, I'm going to play Bugs in 40K and then, you know, just transfer them over because the figures were different scale.
They were 30 mil scale, apparently.
Yeah. There were some lovely figures. The tanker bug was gorgeous. really liked the tanker bug. I regret not having one. But, I mean, it was good. I mean, Mongoose had other issues at that time because they got distracted into using the same system in a pre-painted modern or future modern game.
What was that?
You know what? I don't even remember what it was called.
It's not
now.
Dusk, is it? Or something like that?
No,
it was AT-43?
No, because that came from Confrontation.
Okay.
I cannot remember what it was called. But it had similar issues, but it was going down the pre-paint route. And it used the same game system. But what happened is they got distracted from Starship Troopers.
And that, I mean, they had Andy Chambers write that rule set as well, didn't they?
So... Yeah, oh, no, the rules are pretty solid, actually. It's a definite precursor to where we are now in games because, you know, every unit had a card and, the stats were all there. So when you bought your packet of figures, you didn't have to get an army book or anything. You had the cards in the box ready to go. Had some, for the time, very innovative ideas. But I think that they were trying to grow, you know, Mongoose were trying to grow too fast because they had this license and... were put themselves in a bad place. A thing that I think they then repeated when they got the Judge Dredd license.
Was it Bab 5?
No, because that was their science fiction game.
But that was pre-painted, or was that not pre-painted?
No, it wasn't pre-painted either. You'd stop looking on the internet.
It's bugging me.
It will bug me as well.
Call to Arms, no.
I can't remember what it was called.
Anyway.
But then they had the Judge Dredd license as well, and they did a pretty successful Kickstarter on that, which unfortunately still hasn't been fully fulfilled. Things like the Manta tank and stuff have just taken a long time. And in the end, they moved that license on, because it's one of those funny licenses that plays exceptionally well here in the UK, but doesn't play well outside because people don't buy into the whole Judge Dredd thing. That's why Dredd the movie, even though it's an absolutely stonking movie, was commercially unsuccessful. Because it doesn't, the American market doesn't buy into it, and you need to have the American market buy into it to be successful.
But they have a history of licensing products, don't they? Of licensed products.
Oh, Mongoose?
Yeah.
Yes, they're very good at doing that whole licensing thing.
But I don't
thing.
Know if they have the breadth to be able to fulfil on these products.
Not. I think you're probably thinking at a miniatures level, you think you're probably right.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they have the Paranoia license now, which has... You know, it looking to be a very good game.
They've got the Traveller license as well.
Yep, they do. And they're going to finish up. They're going to do some extra stuff. So in the RPG space, they're good at licensing. Mm. Miniatures. I mean, I think, what other licensed miniature games have there been? I suppose Mantic is doing one based on Attack of the... No, whatever it's called.
Mars Attacks. Is that licensed, though?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's owned by the Topps Trading Card Company.
Okay.
So they've got that. Again, it was a successful Kickstarter. And some of the miniatures produced are lovely. The giant robot.
Yes, I've seen that at yours. So.
Is a work of art. I love the giant robot. Is it going to turn into a big game? I don't know. And there have been others in the past. I suppose the big license is the Star Wars license.
Yeah, I suppose you start looking at Star Wars and Star Trek and things like that. And Star Wars seems to be... Well, Star Wars has a huge following anyway, as does Trek. And it's really about how you use that license and where you go with it. So we have the X-Wing... You know, game at the moment, and then
massively successful.
Yep. What's the new big ship one called? Armada. Is that out yet?
It's not out yet. I've got a copy on pre-order at Amazon.
And then we're starting to go down the sort of pseudo dungeon crawler type thing with Assault now as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's... And I think, you know, Fantasy Flight have done a fantastic job, I think, with the Star Trek license.
But they're great at their products are quality products anyway, and when they do license stuff, it has the same FFG quality and feel about it. You know, it is the deluxe game. Sometimes, yes. For me, it's going back to the old GW games, box games, where you had that feel and look and feel of quality. And you open it up and everything feels good about it. This takes it to their games, I think, take it to another level. I remember sitting down, having played X-Wing at the club for the first time, and comparing the quality of the cards and tokens to the Star Trek Attack Wing game. And there was just such a huge difference between the quality of the components. And I would have just bought the game just for those sort of thing, which is a sad thing to say. But it did make me wonder why Attack Wing is so behind.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I think it is the personality involved. I mean, Fantasy Flight are very, very good at exploiting the license. They've done a brilliant... I mean, they've done a brilliant job with X-Wing. It's been phenomenally successful. And I think the pre-paint route helps. The rules are relatively simple.
And they're fun as well.
But it's a difficult game to master. It doesn't appeal to me as... I've said many times on this podcast, that's why Armada's on pre-order, because I want to play capital ships. I don't want to play fighters. But why isn't there a miniatures game? You know, now,
but where do you go with a miniatures game? And I think this is one of the problems we have with the perception of a film. For instance, Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have, what, two races, potentially?
Yeah, you have the bug. Yeah, effectively. The bugs, I mean, there are others. There was, if you use the books and things, you get things like the skinnies and stuff. But basically, it's bugs versus humans.
Where do you go with that? You know, you just have a tabletop game. I mean, if you're producing a mass combat game, then it's going to get very boring.
You're right, because you have to have it 4 to 5 factions, don't you?
Yes, or you take it into a scenario based mission type game, you know, and produce. But this is something we don't have a lot of at the moment. In my opinion, from a wargaming perspective, we don't have this concept of the whole. In AD&D, it was. Modules, weren't they? They were dungeon modules.
Yep.
So we don't have campaign modules or campaign books, and I think there is a big gap in the market for well-written campaign books or ideas, and they don't need to be keyed to a general game system, though if they are, I think they will sell well anyway. You could have generic campaign stroke books, modules, with a fantasy trope or with a science fiction trope, you know, or a steampunk trope. I think there is a market there for that to go away. You then have the ideas. It takes the thought process out of it, and all you have to do is figure out how it fits in with your game system that you're playing with.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and I think that is one of the it used to be back at, you know, we always say back in the day when I were lads, which was many years ago, there was West Wind had the Star Wars miniature game license. And was it West Wind? Is that what they were called?
West Wind Productions, was it?
No. I can't remember. It was an American company. I'm sure it was West Wind, but now I'm thinking it wasn't. Oh, bugger. I can't remember what they were called now. So they had the license, but it was basically you were Empire versus Rebels. And whilst you could build out your forces, that was it. You had a load of stormtroopers and some scout walkers versus a load of rebels and some Jedi.
Yeah, you see, I think Star Wars suffers from the same issues. You go ship or you go land, and then with land you have a certain set of stuff. You can always invent new stuff, I suppose, but then where do you go with it? You can't have.
Well, I wonder. See, I wonder if what you need to do in for a Star Wars miniature game, and there was another one, wasn't there? Oh, the people who do the pre-paint things, WizKids, did a Star Wars, a click game. I'd forgotten that.
Well, WizKids have got licensed stuff for
Marvel
and things like that.
Yeah. I wonder if the way that you do a Star Wars game is you do it as a skirmish game and you don't set it in the modern-day Star Wars universe. You set it in the Old Republic universe when the Sith, you know, the Sith versus the Republic, when the Sith were massive. So there are masses and masses of Jedi around, both dark and light. And you do a skirmish game, a character-driven skirmish game. Think the old GW game Inquisitor.
Yep.
But more of a combat game. But so you can have a Jedi as your effectively as your master, and then he's got his little motley crew around him. So he's got, you know, a little droid thing that you use for doing objectives and stuff. And you do play it as an objective based game.
Yep. The other option is to take the idea that we had for the core, and say this is the X planet expansion, and you have a set of missions based on that planet with miniatures that you find on that planet, sort of thing.
Yeah, so the flora and fauna of that planet, yep. And things. I think, yeah, that would be cool. And you know, you can have your little Jedi, and you can all be searching for, you know, the lost crystal of Kanath or something. And then it doesn't matter if it's because it doesn't end up being just dark versus light.
No. And I think this is one of the great things about sort of the game like Malifaux is that you have these little missions. And I think the mission idea, the objective idea, is a great thing to put into a game because it just it takes it away from being a chess game to something which then becomes visually in your head. You know, it becomes cinematic almost, and you have this story-driven idea, and you have this extra element to the game.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, what property would you like to see turned into a game that, as far as you know, hasn't been a tabletop miniatures game, not a board game?
You see, anywhere you go, you end up with this same constraints, I think.
What, the one versus...
Yeah.
There's only two sides.
So I'm thinking Terminator, I'm thinking... I think, has a Predator game come out? See, that...
There's a board game, isn't there?
See, that would make a good little game as well. But it's skirmish-based as well.
Yeah, I think most of them would only be skirmish games. I think I'd like an Underworld game.
That'd be interesting as well.
But again, you're constrained with factions.
Yep.
Actually, well, no, you're not. If you go across the whole canon, there you've got at least three. Because you've got the vampires, you've got the Lycans, and you've got, with the later movies, you've got the humans.
You've got potential once they understand as well, them. Haven't you?
Sorry?
You've got the potential crossbreeds as well.
Yeah. So yeah, you, I suppose you could get to four. I think that would be quite cool. Any other film series that I would like to see games of? I think I'd like to see a good superhero miniature game.
That has to be purely, and that's low model count potentially, isn't it?
Yeah. I would like to see, you know, yes, effectively you've got two sides, but you go through comics, there are thousands of things where heroes fight heroes, so there's no, you've got no problem on hero versus hero. And you can go many different ways where you've got, say, the Avengers, big super powerful team, versus just thousands of grunts.
Yep.
So you have a, you know, some sort of recycling mechanic for the grunts. I think that would be a very interesting licensing. And, you know, I mean, there's the Batman game from Knight, which seems to be getting some traction at the moment. But it's a DC game, and a Marvel game would just, I believe, sell so much more.
I'm just looking at my DVDs on the shelf, and I'm thinking,
not the ones on the top.
No, not the, no. I can't reach them yet. I need the special grippy thing for that. Reign of Fire, that would make a great board game.
Oh yes, the dragon one. Yep, that would be good. Oh, there's lots of things that you could turn into board games, but that's probably another show.
Yes.
Well, we've witted on for 26 minutes.
Oh, okay. We better go then.
We had better go. So,
Oh, what about Foundation? Can you do anything with the Foundation books?
You could do some lovely hard sci-fi with a lot of stuff. Anyway, until then, I've been Mike.
And I've been Conrad.
Bye-bye.
Cheerio.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.